You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 75. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Beyond the High Road, a podcast dedicated to healing your heart and life following the grief of alienation. I'm your host, Shelby Milford, a twice-certified life coach specializing in post-traumatic growth. If you're experiencing the effects of alienation and you're ready to heal, then this show is my love letter to you. Stay tuned.
Hey, real quick, I have a survey for you guys, and it's super quick. It's three questions, and two of them are multiple choice, or like choose as many as you want. And then one of them is you writing in like a couple word answer. So it's just I want to get your opinion about you personally, what you feel like you're missing in your life and in this journey to healing yourself following the trauma and during the grief of alienation. I'm going to put a link for you down below, but it's just beyondthehighroad.com, and then go up to the click on the podcast tab and then just click into any one of the episodes and it'll be below the episode info. Just scroll down to the bottom and it's there on every page. Like I said, it's just a quickie, couple few questions. And that way I hear you and understand where you're coming from and what it is that you desire. And if you want to write any more things in that question that I give you the multiple, whatever, you can write whatever you want, or you can just click a submit a form and send me an email either way. But anyway, all right, onto the episode. Oh, and this Friday live in the private Facebook group, noon Eastern Standard Time. Okay. Bye.
Hey guys, how you doing today? It is a gorgeous day here in South Florida. And I have been doing a bunch of yard work lately. Xfinity is still on their whole enhancing the network thing. Today, I want to talk with you guys about letting it get the best of you. And really, essentially, ultimately, not letting it get the best of you. But I want to start with a story of when I let it get the best of me. I don't think about this story very much anymore. In fact, I really don't think about any of the stories anymore because I don't. They're really not part of my story. I don't choose to have them make up my identity today. But for a long time, I carried a lot of shame about this and a lot of other stories. So if you're in that place where this kind of stuff is sensitive, just know I am going to be mentioning a trip to jail in this episode coming up here in just a minute. And so if you think that you're going to feel activated, then maybe come back to this one later. But it's not going to be crazy, but I just wanted to mention that in the beginning because I know how triggering this kind of subject matter can be when you're just starting your healing journey. So here goes. I was messaging one of the listeners last night about this. I've been relatively nostalgic lately. And I believe it has everything to do with what just happened with me and my daughter, or what I guess really what hasn't happened with me and my daughter, and what looks to be for the foreseeable future, the rest of her high school years anyway. I think that that's probably it. I remember when I was pregnant with her, this is just coming up, when I was pregnant with her, I got so, like, I'm going to get teary-eyed thinking about it. I don't know where, I mean, I know where this is coming from, but this was not planned. I remember being so nostalgic when she was in my belly from early on, first trimester, really. I knew that I was pregnant with her, like, days afterwards. I just knew it. And then throughout, I just had this very clear-headed, nostalgic, like, if I would pass signs on the highway, you know, billboards on the highway, if I smell the smell, specific shades of color all reminded me of my childhood. And I found a lot of clarity about my own life and my own upbringing while I was, and it was not intentional, that is for sure, while I was pregnant with her. But anyway, now it seems like I just said that I was experiencing this, and it kind of feels like, you know, it's on the opposite end of that, right? Like when, if you didn't catch that episode, her father had emailed the supervisor and said that my daughter was not going to be making time in her schedule, basically, for any more time with me. And that we could try again when she's 18. So random little stories. Yesterday I was in, wasn't Home Depot, I was in Lowe's, and I was walking around doing this little ditty that my daughter made up when she was like 4 or 5 when we were playing Rock Band. And she had this drum, her job was the drums, right? And so she had this little ditty that she did. And then she would go around the house after that for years after that, doing this little cute little whatever. I'm not going to do it for you right now, but super adorable. And I find myself bebopping through the house doing that little ditty of hers or other ones. She did these really cute, she had the sweetest little angel voice when she was singing, which what kids don't, you know what I'm saying? But I just remember hers being so sweet. Anyway, my point is that I've been finding myself like just those kinds of memories coming to me often, in different ones too, ones that I hadn't thought about in a long time. I've been having, I'm not usually one that, I have wacky dreams, but I never really read into them too much. I mean, I don't often really remember all the details of them. I know that our dreams, I am fairly certain that our dreams come from the subconscious thoughts that are going on in our head. And at night, when we go to sleep, when we go into our dream sleep, our body is, and our subconscious is letting go and working things out, repairing itself literally, physically and mentally. All, everything else shuts down. I don't know if I've shared this with you guys. I just love this fact because I think it's freaking amazing. I learned it because one time I was at Bandcamp. I went to a neurologist when I was, all that sickness was going on. And she also did this whole sleep thing with me. And she said, do you ever wake up and feel like you're paralyzed, like you can't move? And I'm like, yeah, doesn't everybody? Like, I just thought that that was like a thing. And she was like, yeah, no. I mean, it is a thing, but it's not a common thing because you've woken up in the middle of a repair cycle, basically. Everybody does this, not the waking up part, but during that time of your sleep, you go into your slumber, and in order to clean everything out, repair what needs to be, this is every night, your brain will shut down from your neck downwards. It paralyzes you every night. Every night, your brain will paralyze your body so as to do a cleaning, right? It's like all the workers come out, paralyze you, and clean through your body, which I think is just fascinating. So you're normally not to wake up during that time because there's an easing out of it. Sort of, if you've ever been, if you're a diver, you know, like a deep sea diver, you know, you can't ascend deep water going straight up to the surface of the water from, let's say, 100 feet or so. Not only not be able to equalize, but it will fuck you up, right? You will get really sick. And the pressure's too much. It's a lot, right? Sort of the same thing with sleep. Like normally your body is set up so that it doesn't just wake up without having that gradual coming out of. And so when you do, just as a little side note, if you do wake up ever and you feel like you're paralyzed and you can't move your arms and legs, you might have a little bit of a sleep disorder. Nothing to alarm you. It's not a huge deal. But if you ever wondered why that happens to you, there you have it. Anyway, now I can't remember why I explained that. I think it was because I was talking about that I was having dreams about my daughter, you know, lots of them, odd ones. Oh yeah, I was talking about how our subconscious is working those things out. I've never really put too much thought or taken my dreams seriously, and nor am I now. But I know that so many of my clients find these dreams disturbing. Some of you read into these dreams and it must mean something and they're signs of what's to come. I'm not denying that that could possibly be true. I tend to not think that there's any upside. It might end up doing more damage than good because you're distracted and then always looking for that sign to come true. I just choose to believe that dreams happen and are there as a way of working out our emotional thoughts that go on behind the scenes when you're not even consciously with your forefront of your mind thinking about them. They're just fragments of unfinished thoughts that are back there. And so when we're sleeping, we work that out. So I've been having a lot of nostalgia lately. Just went off on a tangent. one of the dreams that I had more recently, and then some other memories, awake memories, came together to remind me of a dark time. You guys have heard bits and pieces of my story over the last year and a half. And I know that I shared with you guys about when my daughter's father scheduled this elective surgery without letting me know behind my back. And I stopped the surgery. And as a result, he turned around and began a lawsuit to modify the custody situation. And that lawsuit ended up resulting in me basically losing custody and losing my medical say in my daughter's life. And that was a huge slap in the face, especially because I went out on a limb and went against everything that I wanted to do inside of me in order to protect her when I stopped the surgery, right? I knew I was getting into a world of shit when I did it. I knew I was going to piss him off. I didn't want to do it, but at the same time, I had to stand up for what I believed in. And so I did it knowing in the back of my mind that I was going to start World War III, and I did just that. Fast forward, I get the years and times all mixed up because there was so much that happened. I'm sure you guys can relate to that. But fast forward maybe 6 months or so, final order happens. I leave court. I am in shock. I talked to my father on the phone. He's the first person. He was like, "How did that go?" Thinking things were going to be fine. And I gave him the news that I lost. And he was appalled, right? He couldn't understand it. He couldn't comprehend. And his reaction was pretty much anybody else's reaction that I knew at that time. It made sense to nobody. Not only were my basic rights taken away, if you will, I mean, we still have joint custody, but as far as who had the right to domicile and all the decision-making rights got transferred over to him. That's a whole nother story, that whole lawsuit and what happened and the judge that we had. It's not for now, but there was a step-up plan that was supposed to be in action. The order was written like shit. And so, of course, this step-up plan was unattainable. There's no way that I could have done it. Although I still kept on it for a while. What was like not even being kicked when you're down, but it was like somebody putting a cigarette out on your forehead when you're down, was that I was ordered to pay child support. Now, I'm sure you've heard, if you've been listening to the show for a little while, then you have heard me talk about the financial situation of my ex, my daughter's father, and the financial situation of me. I was not doing bad at one point. I built a home, and then I ended up having to sell that home to live and to hire a new attorney to go and appeal this ruling that just happened. So within a year's time of getting that final order, I sold my home, moved into a rental in between the house and the hill and selling my home. And I was struggling to pay this child support. My ex, it's well known that my ex made, and we just finished doing discovery for that case, was at the time making $450 a year on paper without the bonuses factored in. Plus, he was a trust fund baby. And at age 40, his trust had matured so he could access all the money that was in his trust. He was not hurting for money. He is not hurting for money. Me, on the other hand, I had to sell this home that I loved so much that I built for my daughter and I. Then that money went to all of my debts and paying the mortgage back, because I only owned the house for a few years, and paying my attorney, paying all of the back bills for all of the legal problems that were caused over the years due to this situation of alienation. I was way over my head in financial debt as a result of all this. So the fact that not only were my rights to actively participate in my daughter's life taken away, but on top of that, it was a fuck you. You're going to pay for it financially too. You're going to pay every month. Mind you, it was probably not as much as some of you out there pay. I was still paying. I was ordered to pay $320 a month. Still, it's the same today. That was a lot for me at the time, especially because I don't know if then I was on food stamps, but I was really struggling to make ends meet. And I knew that on the other side of things that my ex and my daughter's stepmom were doing just fine. their family, they were fine. They were going on vacations, two vacations a year. They drove the Range Rover and the BMW. Things were going fine in the world. And so when I was struggling to rub two pennies together, come up with the money to pay for my daughter, who at the time I knew that that money, the money that I paid, wasn't going to my daughter, right? It was, fuck you. It was a probably, this is what I used to think at the time, is that that credit card, you know, with the funds on it, was given to the stepmom to go buy lunch or go to the spa or go get her nails done once a month. It was money that was basically just being thrown away. And I could have used that money. I was really, really hurting. $300 at that time per month would have helped me out tremendously. And I knew that they knew that. We did discovery. They knew what the financial situation was like. Not that I think that they needed to take care of me, but on the other hand, I also knew that it was their plan to financially break me down. Anyway, so the order to pay child support was in the fall of 2017, if I'm doing this right. By the end of 2018 summer, I sold the home. And in the fall of 2018, I was summoned. I received a summons from the court, from the AG's office. I was being sued for being in arrears, less than, I think it was around $1,200 that I was behind in child support. And because I was so angry about the fact that I was ordered to pay child support and it was unjust, it was wrong, this is crazy, you don't understand what they're doing. There were definitely months where I rebelled against it and said, fuck you, I'm not paying. I can't pay. And then I would justify my not paying it. I entertained and lived into the injustices being done, that the judge was wrong, that the whole network of people that were involved in order to make this plight of alienation successful, I was so angry at all of the players involved, right? I was so angry. I felt so ganged up on, bullied, and so wronged, singled out. I couldn't believe that people would knowingly not only take away the rights of a present, loving, and capable mom, but on top of that, then make her pay the trust fund baby. Who is doing all of this? Who is orchestrating all of this? This is the language and the mindset that I lived in on the reg all day long, 24/7, from the time I woke up until the time I went to sleep, probably during my sleep. And then each time that somebody, I didn't speak about it that much, but the people close in my life that did know and did learn about the fact that I was having to pay child support, each time, which was every time, that I heard somebody tell me how terrible this was and how unbelievable, appalling it was that I was the one being ordered to pay, knowing my ex's situation, I used that as evidence to support my stance in not paying. I told myself it was okay not to pay because this was wrong. They're the ones that are wrong. How can they not see the fact that I'm the one that's suffering over here? They're the ones that started all of this. I wouldn't be in half the shit I'm in if they weren't harassing me, following me, having me followed, hiring PIs, spreading rumors, all of the things that I lived in on the daily basis that I thought that I couldn't get away from. In my mind, how can I get out of thinking about this stuff when all it does is surround me? Just when I think I've gotten over one thing, one of the symptoms of them, just when I've made it through and overcome that, they do something else to stand in front of me and cause me to fall or trip up. They contact the AG's office and pursue and insist on having the AG's office file a suit against me. When it wasn't the AG's office, it was the district attorney's office, criminal charges, saying that I burglarized their house. You know, it was one thing after another. I'm not saying this to you guys. I like even hearing me talk about it, I'm like, oh, cringing because it feels so negative. But when I was in it, it felt like I didn't have a choice. It truly consumed me. And so I'm telling you guys this, or I'm sharing this with you because I'm hoping that those of you out there that are in this position, that feeling of being defeated, feeling like you had no other choice but to let it get the best of you. Like, how can you not let it get the best of you? I just want to let you know that I understand. So anyway, so I was being sued by the AG's office and there was a hearing coming up. My mom, I guess I had told her we were in and out of talking at that point, but she insisted on coming down and supporting me for this. I thought because the second that I found out that I was being sued by the AG's office, I went around and found the money, miraculously, found the $1,200, whatever it was, to pay the arrears so that when I showed up to court, I had the receipt and everything would be fine because it's already been paid. After all, in my mind, it was only $1,200. This is not, I hear about people that are behind in their child support, tens of thousands of dollars. This is $1,200. And so I paid the stuff, thought I would show up to court and it would not be a big deal. So I told my mom it really wasn't necessary, but she decided to come anyway. So we show up in court and I was not prepared for boo. My ex, my daughter's father showed up, even though he wasn't required to. It really wasn't a him against me on paper thing. He showed up and insisted that I'd be thrown in jail. And the AG was not recommending this. They weren't recommending anything because I already paid. And the judge, after much prodding on my ex's part, did just that. She put me in jail. Luckily, my mom came down because she had to bail me out that day. I didn't spend the night that time, but I was there for a good amount of time. And of course, then there's the mugshot all over for everybody to see and what have you. The reason I'm telling you this is because I could have avoided that situation. It didn't need to get to the point where I was vulnerable enough to be able to be thrown in jail. I was standing by my belief that this was wrong and I was the one that was being injusticed, and therefore I shouldn't have to pay. I shouldn't have to do this. They're just saying fuck you to me, and I know they're laughing all the way to the bank and just throwing my money away on whatever. I had all of these stories in my head, and they're actually, while I'm working my ass off to try to make that $300 and also pay the supervisor and all the other things, the stepmom is dropping my daughter off at the mall so we can meet, my daughter and I could meet in a public place with a supervisor. And she's like pointing and laughing on her cell phone as she's driving away, mocking me, making a spectacle of the situation. She was having a ball with it. And it made me sick to my stomach. So every month when I knew that it was that time to go pay that child support, these are the kinds of things that I would replay in my head. And I let it get the best of me. I let it eat me alive. And it really fucked with me. On an everyday basis, it was like the low grade always. Like, how can I even possibly move past this? Because everywhere I turn, they have blocked me. They are ruling my life from afar. And I promise you, I've really felt this in my bones, that this was not an optional belief, that he was puppeting me, my ex, from afar. He was puppeting all of the powers that be in the family courts, paying them off, starting rumors. He picked the partner, my daughter's stepmom, with a personality type that loves to obsess and get revenge. She was all about making his promise to me from long ago when we first got separated for him to ruin my life. She was all about making that promise come true for him, doing anything that they could, no money spared, in order to make my life a living hell. And so that is what I lived on the every day. And as so long as I lived in that mindset of they've wronged me and I shouldn't have to do any of this stuff and how dare they? And here I am sitting here without my kid and they're over there laughing and making an ass out of me and I'm stuck paying this, so I'm not going to pay. And guess what? I'll end myself up in jail. That was the most disempowering place I could have ever been. And so long as I stayed in that mindset, I was never, ever, ever going to gain any power over the situation of myself and any perspective on my life and grow through it and get to the other side. In order for me to let go of the idea that all of these injustices have been done, now I can't say let go of the idea because I still believe that I was injusticed, as I believe that all of you, anybody that's going through alienation, had suffered some serious injustices, right? I will always remain with that. However, continuing to choose that perspective for how I lived my life on the everyday basis could not continue to happen, or I would have been in jail again and again and again and again and again. And who would have gotten the best of me then? So I think I've made my point. Basically, I could have avoided jail. I could have avoided feeling as stuck for as long as I did and staying under earning and not earning at all and staying in a very deep, deep depression for so long. I could have moved from it a lot quicker. But my pride and my commitment to sticking with that story of injustice was way stronger than my desire to change when it boiled down to it. Like, I really wanted change. I really wanted to get out of it. But also, I equally did not think it was possible for me to let go of the stance I took. If I explored other points of view, then that would open me up to having to say that I was wrong, that I was the cause of the alienation. And that's not the case. But at the time, I thought that if I didn't stand firm in my view of the injustice being done to me, that I would have to admit defeat. They were right and I was wrong. And it doesn't have to be one or the other. I can acknowledge that alienation has happened and that injustice has happened. I was not deserving of these judgments, right? I can acknowledge that, but then also acknowledge that holding on to that and allowing that to be the driver of my every action was not going to help me. I had to be willing to divorce my ego, my pride about what has happened so that I could explore the up-leveled version of me. So today, for example, I pay the child support. I don't entertain the stories. This shouldn't be, blah, blah, blah. How dare they? They're laughing all the way to the bank. They are just trying to fuck me. My daughter's probably not seeing a cent of this. Like all the stuff that I said before to myself, I just stopped saying it. I just decided that I'm going to look at child support as a circumstance, as a neutral in my life. Instead of wallowing in all of the evidence I'd collected over the however many years about why paying child support on my side of things is wrong, I just look at it. It's not bad or it's not good. It just is, just as taxes are, just as paying for water and electricity and cable is. If I want freedom, if I want to gain some perspective and some power over this situation, I pay this fee and that's it. I don't ever consider thinking about what it's done with the money, what they're doing with it, what they're not doing with it, what they're thinking when it comes to them. None of that. And that is as simple as that. It's just telling your brain, look, we're not going to do this anymore. Going and luxuriating in, indulging in this thought pattern doesn't get us anywhere. In fact, it gets me places that I don't want to be. And here's the shitty thing is the place that I don't want to be is the very place that he is actually trying to make me go. He was the one that was calling the AG's office and begging them, demanding that they file a suit. He was the one that was showing up to court and demanding to the judge that I get sent to jail. And because I am wallowing in all of the stories and all the reasons why he sucks and he's trying to get me put in jail, I go get myself thrown in jail. He did what he did, but today I can just assume that that's what he's doing. And now him doing that is a neutral in my world. He's just doing what he does. I normally say his first name and I add an ing onto it, like the verb of him. That's just how he behaves. And so that is a neutral to me. I can just bank on and anticipate's not the right word because I don't ever consider it anymore. But it's no surprise that he would ever pursue any sort of legal action against me. I'm just going to assume that he is. Just like I said, just like taxes are neutral. It sucks, but you got to pay him. That is how it is. And that way you gain power over it. And then if you're in a situation like me, it's not him that put me in jail. It was me because I knew that if I didn't pay, people do go to jail for this stuff. Back then, I would have said, yeah, but not for $1,200. Yeah, but not because of the situation I was in. I'm not a crackhead or I'm not a deadbeat mom or dad. That's not my situation. That's what I would have said back then. But that's not helping me. So instead of making it and demonizing it and making it about him, I'm not victim blaming here. I want you to find your power. Instead of making it about them, make it about yourself, because you do know what the terms are. Even if the terms suck, whatever you've got going on for you, whatever you're supposed to pay, whatever you're supposed to do, neutralize that. Just make that a fact of life. And now, how can you comply with that? Because that is what you are doing for you, not for them. You know what I'm saying? Don't let it get the best of you. Don't. If you're living into the stories of how that's what they wanted, that they're trying to do this to you, they're trying to do that, it will fuck you up and it will keep you stagnant for way longer than you deserve to be. Instead, it's the neutrality of the circumstance that you have before you at this moment. That doesn't mean that you're lying down for it or that you aren't working to change it. You can still work to modify the child support or whatever it is going on for you. You can still work to change it. In fact, you're in a much better position to get it changed if you're already complying. But when you're defaulting and you're like rebelling against it, you're never going to get anywhere. Rarely. So gain power over it. Neutralize all of the situations in your life, the current circumstances in your life that you're making so negative right now. Okay? That's what I have for you. Don't land yourself in jail. For sure. Don't do that. But even like the jail of your mind, I know that seems a little whatever, but like seriously, even the jail of your mind, because that is hell alone, to be constantly feeling like you're at the mercy of them. They're trying to control my life and blah, blah, blah. They're doing a very good job of controlling your life when all you're concentrating on is the fact that they're trying to control your life. Do you know what I'm saying? Make it a neutral. Just expect that that's what they're trying to do. Okay. Cool. It is a neither here nor there when you're standing in your own power, when you are neutralizing those situations and expecting it from them. And then you call the shots from here. Okay. All right, guys. Have a lovely week. You know, last week I read there was two new reviews that I found right at the end of whenever I was doing the beginning announcements, which I recorded at the end last week. I read portions of the two new reviews that I had gotten out. They touched me. Like, I actually was a little tearful because they were such really heartfelt and heartwarming reviews that y'all gave me on iTunes. I really appreciate it. And so I recorded that, or I thought I recorded it, and then I couldn't find that recording. It was just like a blurb that I did separate. And now I can't find it anywhere. So to the two new reviews from you guys, really seriously touched my heart. And I really wish that I could reply to reviews, but I can't. And so just know that, yeah, it brought me to tears. I really, really, really thank you. I appreciate you guys just as much. I mean it. I do. So I will continue to share my experience, strength, and hope with you for as long as you guys appreciate it. For those of you who have put in reviews from countries other than the US, for whatever reason, I don't know why this is. Maybe somebody can give me the explanation. I don't get shown those from anywhere other than US, even Canada, unless I dig hard for them. Reviews, I think, are only shown like for the US or only shown in the US, and for Iceland, only shown in Iceland, and Canada and Canada. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that we're all like privy to all the different countries, the reviews. Hopefully that's making sense. So if you live somewhere other than the US and you've written a review on iTunes and I haven't thanked you, I'm thanking you now. And I would love if you would drop me a line and let me know what country you're in and where you sent the review in from. Because I will do is collect that and put it at least in a post, like on Instagram or something like that, like I did last year, and share that. Okay. So I would love to know if you've written, sorry to make you do any more work, only if you've got the time. But if you've written a review and you haven't heard me express my thanks, then that's probably why. Okay. I'm tired. I'm going to go. Have a wonderful day. Noon PM on Friday in the private Facebook group. Answer any of your questions.